Hello, welcome to Us and Tomorrow, where we explore the cutting edge of science, technology, and humanity's future. I am your host, Belinda Chen, and today we are diving into the fascinating world of biomimicry. Nature's 3.8 billion year R&D lab that's changing how we design everything from buildings to bullet trains. For centuries, we humans have been patting ourselves on the back for our technological innovations, thinking that we are so clever with our skyscrapers and supercomputers. Meanwhile, the natural world has been quietly solving the same engineering problems for millions of years, often with solutions that make our human designs look embarrassingly inefficient. I've been obsessed with biomimicry since I came across Janine Benaiza's book, where it introduced the concept that nature has already solved many of the problems we're dealing with. Efficient energy use, circular materials economy, resilient structures. Life has been perfecting these systems for billions of years, while we humans have been reinventing the wheel, often poorly. Today, we are going to explore how scientists and engineers are finally getting humble enough to look to nature for inspiration and the incredible innovations that have resulted. Let's start with one of my favorite biomimicry success stories, one that literally changed the face of high-speed rail in Japan. The Shinkansen bullet train had a serious problem when it was first developed. When these trains would exit tunnels at high speeds, they created a sonic boom, a massive pressure wave that was not only causing structural problems but also making residents up to a quarter mile away file noise complaints. The engineers were stuck until the chief engineer, Eiji Nakatsu, who happened to be also a keen bird watcher, thought about kingfishers. These birds dive into water from air with barely a splash. Why? Their specialized beaks gradually increase in diameter from tip to head, which allows them to slice through the air-water boundary with minimal resistance. Nakatsu redesigned the train's nose to mimic the kingfisher's beak. The results were stunning. Not only did it solve the noise problem, but it also made the trains 15% more energy efficient and 10% faster, all because someone took the time to notice how nature had already solved the problem of moving between mediums of different densities. This isn't just a cute story. It represents billions in savings and massive environmental benefits, all from looking at a bird's beak. That's the power of biomimicry. But wait, it gets better. Let's talk about how biomimicry is transforming architecture. For years, we've been building these glass and steel boxes that are environmental disasters, which required massive amounts of energy for heating and cooling. But now, architects are studying termite mounds to revolutionize building design. Researchers have extensively studied macro terms mycoceni, a term referring to termites that build mounds that maintain a steady internal temperature of 87 degrees Fahrenheit, despite external temperature swings from 35 to 104 degrees. So, how did they do it? The mounds have sophisticated passive ventilation systems, which are a series of tunnels and chambers that create convection currents without any mechanical parts. The Eastgate Center in Harare, Zimbabwe uses this exact principle. It uses 90% less energy for ventilation than conventional buildings of the same size and doesn't need air conditioning, despite being in a tropical climate. The building maintains comfortable temperatures using only 10% of the energy of comparable structures. What blows my mind is that termites figured this out millions of years ago, while we humans are just now catching up. And this isn't just about saving money. This kind of biomimetic design is crucial for addressing climate change and resource depletion. Now let's talk about material science, which might be where biomimicry has made its biggest splash. Researchers at several leading universities are working on spider silk-inspired fibers. Spider silk is mind-blowing stuff, proportionally stronger than steel but incredibly lightweight and flexible. Scientists have developed fibers inspired by spider silk that are being tested for everything from surgical sutures to bulletproof vests. What's remarkable is that spiders create this material at ambient temperature using water as a solvent, which means that there are no toxic chemicals, no extreme pressure or heat. Meanwhile, we're melting ore at thousands of degrees to produce inferior materials. These biomimetic fibers are eerily light, almost ghostly, yet incredibly strong. As one researcher at MIT put it, spiders have been refining this technology for over 300 million years. We're just beginning to understand what they've perfected. And it's not just spider silk. Abalone shells have led to crack-resistant ceramics, lotus leaves have inspired self-cleaning paints and fabrics, butterfly wings have transformed color technology, creating iridescent hues without chemical dyes. The possibilities here are endless. We are talking about materials that could revolutionize medicine, construction, transportation, virtually every industry, while dramatically reducing environmental impact. One area where biomimicry gets particularly wild is adhesives. I mean, we've all struggled with tape that won't stick or glue that fails underwater. For example, the glue stick that I've been using recently says on the packaging that it's environmentally friendly, but it actually doesn't stick at all, which is really ironic. But the natural world solved these problems eons ago. Take geckos. These little lizards can walk up glass surfaces and across ceilings without falling. Their secret? Millions of microscopic hairs on their feet that create van der Waal forces, molecular attractions that work on virtually any surface. And unlike chemical adhesives, gecko feet don't collect dirt or lose stickiness over time. Researchers at Stanford's biomimetics lab have developed prototype gecko-inspired adhesive tapes that can hold significant weight, work on multiple surfaces, and can be attached and detached repeatedly without degrading. The applications range from industrial robotics to household products. Then there's the sandcastle worm, which creates a waterproof adhesive underwater, something our best synthetic glues struggle with. This has huge implications for medical applications like repairing broken bones or sealing surgical incisions. I can't emphasize enough how transformative these technologies could be. We spend billions annually on synthetic adhesives that are petroleum-based, often toxic, and frequently ineffective. Nature solutions are non-toxic, renewable, and just flat-out work better. Now, let's get really futuristic. What about computers and AI? Surely that's one area where humans have surpassed nature, right? Not so fast. Our most advanced computing systems still can't match the energy efficiency of the human brain. Your brain runs on about 20 watts, the power of a dim light bulb, yet performs calculations that would require supercomputers drawing massive power. This efficiency gap has led computer scientists to study neural networks, creating artificial intelligence systems that mimic how our brains process information. Scientists at universities like Berkeley and MIT are developing neuromorphic computer chips based on actual brain architecture. These prototypes use a fraction of the energy of conventional processors while handling complex tasks like image recognition. And it's not just individual computing. Distributed intelligence is another area where nature excels. Ant colonies, beehives, and flocks of birds demonstrate sophisticated collective decision-making without centralized control. These systems are being studied to improve everything from traffic management to supply chain logistics. Swarm robotics projects where tiny robots with minimal individual intelligence accomplish complex tasks through collective behavior, all inspired by how ants coordinate, are showing tremendous promise. The potential applications for disaster response, environmental monitoring, and space exploration are enormous. What I find most profound about biomimicry isn't just the clever solutions it provides, but how it fundamentally changes our relationship with nature. For too long, we've seen nature as either a resource to exploit or an obstacle to overcome. Biomimicry offers a different paradigm, nature as mentor. When you realize that every plant, animal, and microbe represents billions of years of evolutionary refinement, you start to look at the natural world with new respect. You begin to understand that extracting and destroying natural systems isn't just ethically questionable, it's fundamentally stupid. We're burning the library before we've read the books. Janine Benayous, who coined the term biomimicry and remains its most eloquent advocate, puts it perfectly. The more our world functions like the natural world, the more likely we are to endure on this home that is ours, but not ours alone. As we look toward the future, biomimicry offers something precious, hope. It suggests that many of our most intractable problems, clean energy, sustainable materials, efficient transportation, might have solutions waiting in the forest, the ocean, or even our own backyards. For all our technological prowess, we're still novices compared to nature's 3.8 billion years of R&D. The humility to learn from other species might just be the innovation we need most. Next time you are facing a tough problem, ask yourself, how would nature solve this? The answer might just change everything. Or not. That's all for this episode of Us and Tomorrow. If you enjoyed this exploration of biomimicry and nature's genius, be sure to subscribe. Next time, we'll be diving into another aspect of our rapidly evolving technological future. Until then, stay curious, stay natural, because nature is our strength and not our enemy.